It's an honor to be with you again. We're walking through a series about our nation based on America and what God is doing in our midst. Are we experiencing His judgment, or will we see an awakening, an outpouring of His Spirit? I don't believe the outcome on that is just clear yet, not because God doesn't know what He would do, but I believe the opportunity for God's people to choose Him can change an outcome. He's inviting us to break out of our routines of just attending church and mindlessly going through the routines of a religious observance and truly yielding our lives to Him in ways as we never have before. We have witnessed one of the most precipitous declines of Christian influence in the history of the Christian church. It can't be okay with us. We've got to understand God is asking us to stand for His truth and yield to Him more fully than ever before. The problem isn't someone else. It's about our willingness to change. What an exciting time we are in to serve the Lord. Grab your Bible and a notepad. Most of all, just to begin quietly saying, Lord, I will follow You wherever You lead. Enjoy the lesson.
Now, the points seem simple, but they're not. Because there's an enormous emotional pull, and there's generational pulls, and there's some powerful influences in our lives that work to mix this. And I think we can see that pretty simply in the Scripture. The disciples, our good friends, our heroes in the New Testament, had some very real national aspirations. Not inappropriate, not wicked, but sometimes misdirected. In Acts chapter 1, they ask a question to Jesus. It's in verse 6. It says, when they met together, they asked Jesus, Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It's the only question recorded that they have asked Jesus in that 40-day window between His resurrection and His ascension. So you think it's uppermost on their mind. Are You going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? By that, are You going to restore Israelite autonomy? Can we be done with the Romans? Can we stop paying taxes to them? Can we stop the indignity of the abuse of our women? Can we stop the humiliation of being occupied in front of our children? Are You going to restore the kingdom of Israel? We know who You are. We're convinced of who You are. We watched You die on a Roman cross, and we've seen You alive, and You've shown us the signs of Your passion. There's no question about who You are. Are You going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? You can feel the angst, the passion, the anxiousness in them. Lord, are you gonna bring an awakening to our nation? Are You gonna leave us under the authority of darkness? Now I want to put it back into context. Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. What's the former book? It's Luke. Luke wrote two books in the New Testament, Gentile, non-Jew. Wrote the gospel that bears his name in the book of Acts. The gospel is the Jesus story. The book of Acts is the story of the emerging church. In the former book, I wrote all about that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day He was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen. After His suffering, He showed Himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Can you imagine a 40-day seminar on the kingdom of God with a resurrected Messiah? Whew, I'd like to have the videos to that class. Wouldn't you? I'd watch those on YouTube. And the disciples, one question after 40 days. Are You going to restore the kingdom now to Israel? Go send the Romans home. On one occasion, while I was eating with them, He gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you've heard Me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They had a 40-day seminar with the resurrected Christ, and Jesus said, don't leave this city. Don't begin your assignment until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. I would submit to you, I'm an advocate for learning and study, but I don't believe you'll ever study so much that you don't need the baptism in the Spirit. I don't think we're going to outstudy Peter, James, and John. So when they met together, they said, Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus didn't say, I quit. You bunch of knuckleheads. He said, it's not for you to know. The times or the dates the Father set by His own authority, it's just not your business. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Last words have heightened significance. Jesus' last words to the disciples are, you'll be empowered to be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The disciples are asking about a nationalistic objective. Are you going to restore our nation? Jesus hands them a kingdom assignment. Does that make sense? He said, I understand the desire of your heart. I need you to hear the desire of my heart. You'll be empowered to be witnesses for me. The nation is secondary. And if you follow them through the book of Acts, they lived it out. They lived it out. Now, it's worth noting, I want to step back in time now. There's some backstory to that day. They've spent 3 years with Jesus. He recruited them, some of them as fishermen, some of them as tax collectors, some of them in other ways. But I'm certain when they began, they fully imagined a 30 or 40-year run with Jesus. He was a young man when they said they would follow him. They didn't know it was going to be a three-year journey. You know, following the Lord is not what you would expect it to be. I've been walking with him a while now, and I can tell you it doesn't look like I expected it to be. He surprises me consistently. If you don't intend for the Lord to surprise you, you're not going to follow him very far. He's in charge. See, we've got a real fundamental problem. We don't really want him to follow him. We just want him to do what we want him to do. We want him to keep us healthy and make us prosper, and our kids say yes. Well, yes to us and no to drugs. But we don't really want to follow him. We don't want him like taking us somewhere we didn't intend to go. So we're going to step back. Matthew chapter 21. Jesus is talking to the leaders, the religious leaders. He said, if you never read the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. He's quoting the prophets. Therefore, I tell you, this is one of those I tell you the truth statements. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He just pronounced the nation of Israel under interdict. He said, I am withdrawing from you the assignment you've been given. The incarnate Son of God says to the leaders in the city, this is long before the cross, I tell you, the kingdom of God's going to be taken away from you. They've been the covenant people of God for century upon century. It's their identity. It's not enough. It's not adequate for us to say we have been a Christian nation. Okay. Are we living like one now? It's a very important question. We should not lead presumptive, arrogant, prideful lives. It's a very dangerous position. I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people who will produce its fruit. Outcomes matter. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They knew he was talking about them. Well, a part of your brain says, well, then humble yourselves. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive us for our stubbornness. How could we have been so arrogant, so self-righteous, so conceited? Father, be merciful. They could have done that, just like we can. But that's not their response. They were afraid that they understood he was talking about them, so they looked for a way to arrest him. We got to shut him down. He's a problem. We can't afford for him to keep talking like this. But they're afraid of the crowd. Now that's Matthew. In Luke chapter 19, this is the day of the triumphal entry. This is all backstory to Acts chapter 1. The disciples are not dramatically far away from the attitudes of their leaders. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he said, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This is a big day. This is the closest to a truly public celebration of Jesus that he will see on this side of the grave. I've walked that path down that Mount of Olives many, many, many times. But on this particular day, it's lined with people joyfully praising the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're laying their cloaks in the road, their palm branches. The children are worshiping the Lord. It's an amazing day. In many points, the most celebrated point of Jesus' public ministry. Look at the next verse as he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city. He wept over it. Not tears of joy. If you had only known on this day, what would bring you peace? But it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. He's describing a siege. When a foreign army literally encircles a city, no one in, no one out, we'll starve you into submission. They'll dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They'll not leave one stone on another because you didn't recognize the time of God's coming to you. Oh, it's easy to shake our heads and say the first century Jewish community missed Jesus. I'm far more interested right now in the 21st century Christian community.
You know, I was taught as a young person never to write in a book, and especially never write in your Bible. You know, maybe if you were some kind of zealous, fanatical person, you would underline something, and occasionally you'd find someone with a highlighter fetish, and they would highlight something in their Bible. But for the most part, you didn't touch it. It was a sacred book, and you wanted it to last for decades. Well, at this point in my life, I've got a different opinion. My Bible is the most important book that I ever read. And when I read it, I want to keep every note, every insight, anything that the Lord makes clear to me on that page. So the next time I look at it, it's mine. Well, our premium right now is one of the best tools I have in my own personal devotion. It's a journaling Bible. There's actually room on every page for me to make my notes. It's become my go-to study Bible, not because of the references, because of the places I can keep my thoughts while I'm reading your Bible. Get a journaling Bible for yourself. It'll be a blessing.
Reading the Bible in a daily, systematic way can help strengthen you, so you can see what's happening in the world from God's perspective. Pastor Allen was just talking about a journaling Bible he likes to use, and you can request your copy when you donate $60 or more today. We think it may become your favorite Bible. It's a full-sized English Standard Version Bible with a beautifully textured bonded leather cover. It's easy to read the text since it's in large print, and you can take notes in the wide lined margins during your daily reading. It also includes a one-year Bible reading plan. Request your Bible at allenjackson.com or by calling 1-800-880-5102. And thank you for supporting Allen Jackson Ministries. Together, we are spreading God's truth across our nation.
Many of you from our broadcast audience have been visiting the Middle Tennessee area to attend services in person with Pastor Allen at World Outreach Church. It's been encouraging to meet you, hear your stories, and worship the Lord together. So if you're headed to World Outreach Church in the near future, we've made it easy for you to plan your trip. Just go to the visit page of the Allen Jackson Ministries website. You'll find information for the airport, hotels, service times, and much more. While you're there, let us know which service you plan to attend so Pastor Allen can have a welcome gift especially for you. This is also the best way for us to ensure he's speaking for the weekend you plan to come. Before or after services, you can explore the church's beautiful campus, wander through the bookstore, and grab coffee from the cafe. Just take a few moments to relax. So don't forget, go to allenjackson.com to let us know you'll be visiting.
We are committed to helping you grow in your faith and have tools for your journey no matter your schedule. Get daily encouragement and insight with Pastor Allen's daily devotion right in your inbox. Just sign up on the website. Join us on one of our live stream services right from your TV using the Allen Jackson Ministries app. Listen to a powerful message through your favorite podcast app, perfect for a commute. And make sure to follow Pastor Allen on social media to stay up to date with everything happening here with Allen Jackson Ministries.
Matthew 28, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. It's an interesting sentence. They went to meet him. Their disciples, all of them that went, they followed the instructions he had given them. When they got there, some worshiped and some doubted. We're going to have to decide which group we're going to be in. There's a shaking taking place. There's a shaking taking place. Some worshiped him and some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." There's that assignment again. His abiding presence. His abiding presence is if we accept the assignment. I don't know any place in Scripture that's ever amended it, nor that it's been rescinded, set aside. I think we still have an assignment to be witnesses for him. The disciples started in their hometown. They started in the places where they gathered with people. They told their Jesus story. They prayed for the sick. They didn't leave there until they had so much success, so much effectiveness there, that the jealousy of the adversaries of Jesus forced them out of there. And the best way I know to highlight the impact that made upon Jesus' friends is when they wrote their Jesus story. Remember Acts chapter 1, the promise was, he said, you stay in Jerusalem until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, because when you are, you'll be empowered to be witnesses for me. Okay? And then the story starts. But when it came time for them to tell the Jesus story, how do you think they're going to tell it? I brought it to you. John chapter 1. This is John the Baptist. He said, "I wouldn't have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I've seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." When John introduces us to Jesus, the Apostle John, when he introduces us to his close friend. Remember the Apostle John, Revelation chapter 1, he's on the Isle of Patmos, and he has a vision, and he sees Jesus, and he falls at his feet like he's dead, right? When that John writes his Jesus story, how does he introduce his friend to us? He said, "He's the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Think of all the things he could have said about Jesus. Think of what he says about him in Revelation chapter 1, what he looks like, how his countenance is, what he holds in his hands. Think of all the things he could have said, the miracles he saw. He's the one who baptized you with the Holy Spirit. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, they share some common material. Scholars think that Matthew and Luke had access to Mark when they wrote their stories. So they give kind of a similar synopsis of Jesus' life. So it's not surprising that they use similar language, but it is surprising that they all four say the same thing. There are very few aspects of Jesus' life and ministry that are repeated in all four Gospels. But in all four Gospels, the introduction they give to Jesus is the same. Matthew 3, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Luke 3, "John answered them, 'I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, The thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Mark chapter 1. This was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I. The thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I'll baptize you with water, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What do you think they want us to know about Jesus? Just maybe that he would baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I'm not here tonight to argue for an experience. We'll talk about that in some other sessions. But I want you to hear what Jesus said. Don't leave this city until you are empowered to be witnesses for me. Lord, are you going to restore our nation? We're tired of the Romans. Wrong question, he said. So is it possible? My prayer for our nation, again, is that he would pour out his Spirit upon us. Amen. I can't think of a better outcome for our children and our grandchildren. But I don't know. I can't tell just yet. I can tell you what I believe the determining factor will be, the response of the church. It's not about politics or elections or social media or tech giants or billionaires funding their evil schemes. Don't spend your time soaking up all the conspiracy theories on the internet. It's not helpful. Spend your time in your Bible talking to the Lord. I don't want you to be ignorant of what's happening in the world, but a few minutes a day will do that. Then spend your time with the Lord. Spend your time talking to people, being a witness to what you know to be the truth about Jesus. That is the most secure response in a season of insecurity. Let's begin to bear fruit like we've never borne fruit before. Bring people with you. Tell your neighbors about Jesus. I have a question. In what way is your obedience to the Lord, in what way is your pursuit of the Lord different today than at the beginning of 2020? I want you to think about that. How are you behaving differently? Or are you just saying, oh, no, I'm born again. I was baptized. I'm good to go. I'm tired of the wicked because the wicked are bringing some trouble on us. I can hear Jesus saying, I can make people like you out of rocks. Are we willing to grow? Are we willing to change? Are we willing to give God a larger place in our hearts? If we will, he'll move heaven and earth. And if he pours out his mercy upon our nation, hallelujah. I will lead the parade. God has blessed us, and I will acknowledge his blessings upon us. I'm going to do it repeatedly for these next few weeks, but I'm not confused. We have a kingdom assignment. Are you ready? How many of us would be willing to say, Lord, here we are. Send us. We want all that you have for us. We don't want to start any discussion by saying what we won't do for you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in our lives. Fill us to overflowing. Do I have to speak in tongues? No, but you could. I mean, do you have to? Do I have to cooperate with the Lord? No, but you could. Well, I know somebody that loved the Lord a lot and didn't. Okay. I want to pray with you. Why don't we stand? It's an exciting time. We're right there at the cusp of change. God is moving in the earth. We didn't choose it. We didn't initiate it. We didn't cause it. But God called us to this season. Lord, here we are. Send us. Lord, we're willing. We're whatever you have for us. But everybody won't cheer. Everybody won't applaud. So we go, oh, okay. We're still going to follow you. May the Lord's anointing come upon you in such power, in such demonstrable ways, in such remarkable ways that the enemies of God can't stand it. See, we've had a different approach. Well, we just kind of want to be stealth, covert. No, I don't want to be covert. I don't want to stay in the middle of the road. I don't want to be lukewarm. You ready? Hallelujah. Lord, we offer ourselves to you tonight as living sacrifices. Have your way within us. Lord, we ask for your mercy upon our nation. We're a nation in need of mercy. We've turned our backs on you. Not the ungodly or the wicked or the pagans. Lord, those of us that fill your churches and sing the choruses, we have been of divided heart and mind, and we have been lukewarm and oftentimes and indifferent. And Lord, we're sorry and we come to repent and we ask for your mercy upon us as a people. Look upon us with mercy. Pour out your spirit upon us once again. But Lord, more than that, empower us to be witnesses for you. Let your anointing come upon us. Holy Spirit, we need your help. Give us a revelation of yourself that will move us. Forgive us for when we've been reluctant or hesitant, when we've been disinterested or indifferent. Lord, we offer ourselves to you tonight. Have your way within us. Let your purposes come forth within us. Give us a new boldness, a new anointing, a new hunger, a new thirsting. Let the fear of the Lord grow in our hearts as never before. We praise you for it tonight. We want to be faithful to what you created us for. Teach us to encourage one another and strengthen one another. We thank you for what we will see you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord bless you.